New Year, we're 8 days into it. 8 days into it, and we're already seeing the miracle-working power of God in this place. Amen? We're seeing God's visitation to this place, and I was inspired in our men's meeting on Friday night. It was, listen, if you're not coming to that, you need to be. We are talking about some biblical principles that God would have us as men of God to walk in and walk by, and we were talking about faith. How many of you know that faith is a good thing to talk about, especially amongst a bunch of men? Amen. Because God's calling us, every one of us. In fact, He's calling not only the men, but He's calling every one of us, men, women, and children, to walk by faith, to live by faith, to live our life, to let our life just reek with faith. Hallelujah. Amen? And so this morning, I want to go back and I want to look at one of my all-time favorite passages of Scripture in the Old Testament, and the story will be familiar to probably most of you, and it has brought encouragement to multitudes of people throughout the centuries. It's a story of faith. Amen. It's a story of adventure. Hallelujah. How many of you love a good adventure? It's a story of faith and of adventure, and it's a story, most importantly, of trust and obedience to God. Amen. You can have all the stories you want, and you can have all the books you want, but if we aren't trusting and obeying the voice of the Lord, amen? How many of you know the Bible says that the Word of God speaks? People that say, well, I don't hear from God. It's a direct indication. If you're not hearing from God, the reality is you probably ain't spending much time in His Word. Amen. And so God is calling us this morning to trust Him and to obey Him and to be obedient. Because let me tell you something. I love being your pastor. I'm excited for what God's doing. It thrills my heart. But I'm going to tell you, leaders don't lead forever. Leaders don't lead forever. Even godly leaders like Moses, he didn't lead forever. There comes a time in every ministry when God calls for a new beginning with a new generation and a new leadership. I know the former leadership of Harvest Christian Assembly that was up on the hill above the Super Y, and I know that Sister Basil's heart was to see Myrtle Creek evangelized for the glory of God, to see Myrtle Creek, Oregon transformed by the power of a living God. And though she's not here anymore, I can tell you this, the seeds that she sowed through the years and the years and the years, the hours of prayer on her face before God, her and Brother Basil beseeching the Lord that He would move in this city, and she is seeing that from afar, being in Eugene, but that vision is still being carried on under new leadership, yes, but it's the same vision to see God move in a place that people have for years said God could not do anything in Myrtle Creek. Well, they just don't know the God that I know. Except for Joshua and Caleb, the old generation of the Jews perished during the nation's wandering in the wilderness. Why? What put them in the wilderness? Lack of faith, lack of obedience, lack of trust. God said, go in and take the land. And they said, well, we need to just go in there and see what's going on before we get too carried away. Regardless of what God had already said, and God said, go take the land, possess the land. He didn't say go in and check it out. He said go possess it. They came back and said, hey, there's giants in the land. And we are but grasshoppers in their sight. And Joshua and Caleb said, they're right. They are absolutely right. There are giants in the land. Let's go take them out. Turn to Joshua chapter 1 this morning, if you would, please. And when you're there, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read God's Word. Amen. Joshua chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. Good morning, Mercy. Hey. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And I will not leave you, nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law that which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand nor to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, Father God, I pray, Lord, right now, Lord, that this preacher would decrease. Lord, that you would increase in me. That, God, the words that come forth from my mouth, Lord, are words that you have put in my heart, put in my mind. But, God, you have anointed them as they come out of my mouth. Lord, that the anointing of God would destroy every yoke of bondage off of my life. Lord, that I would be able to have the coal a coal from the altar of heaven touch these lips of clay, and Lord, purify my heart, my mind, my words, my mouth, Lord, and I pray, God, your anointing upon your people today to receive this word and to apply it to their life and go out from this place a people with determination to take the land in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. Listen, Moses walked through some pretty rough things with the children of Israel, and he believed by faith that God was going to be there for them no matter what. Amen? See, Moses was a man that lived by faith when faith wasn't cool. Amen? Moses was a man that lived by faith when faith wasn't cool. And here in our story, Moses, the man of God, had just died, and the mantle of leadership had been given to his associate, or his next man in charge, Joshua. Joshua is a great guy. I would venture to say that if Joshua learned anything from his mentor, it was that it all started by faith and in faith. Amen? We'll find out a little bit later that in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, it says in there that without faith, it is actually impossible to please God. How many of you want to please God this morning? Amen? Half of you. Well, glory. Listen, I want to please God. I want to be a man of faith. Amen? I want this congregation to be a body of faith. I want this body to be able to speak to the mountain and say, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And without doubt and without wavering, see those mountains moved. See those giants fall. See all of that take place that God has allowed us to have. One thing that is so powerful that we as a people have is the history of those who have lived before us. Those people that have lived before us, even those folks that are living now, and they might even be going through some rough times. I learned this much as a kid. I learned real quickly to learn from somebody else's mistakes. Yeah, it's a lot easier on the back of your lap, I promise. We need to learn the same lesson. After wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, the new generation was ready to enter the land of Canaan. But first, God begins to prepare both Joshua and the nation by teaching them the importance of courageous and consistent faith. What even is courageous and consistent faith? Courageous faith is speaking to the mountain. Courageous faith is speaking to the giants in your life, whether it's a sickness or lack of finances or disruption in your house and all those kinds of things. Those can be those giants. The question is, are we going to face them? Courageous means I'm speaking to them whether I feel like they're moving or not. That's what faith is all about. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not yet seen. Amen? See, consistent faith is a faith that does not back down even though we don't see any activity. Hello. Listen, just because you don't see something going on don't mean it's not happening. We got to believe by faith. That's what faith is all about, believing and not seeing. I just believe it's going to happen. I can't even see the building out there yet, but I know that it's happening. I know it's happening. I don't see the money in the bank to build that building. But I'll tell you what, it just keeps showing up. It just keeps showing up. That's why I'm going to continue to give sacrificially, to ask God, Lord, bring the increase into this place. And we're watching with our very own eyes. Because people, man, will say, listen, you can't build that kind of a building in Myrtle Creek, Oregon. There is not the resources in Myrtle Creek, Oregon to build a building like that. And you know what? They are absolutely right. But my God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He can take them to the sale anytime He wants to. Whew. I said this in a building program in St. George, Utah that we were in. I said, I stepped in the pulpit and I said, now listen, I got good news and I got bad news. What do you want first? Oh God, give us the good word. Give us the good news. I said, all the money has been provided for our building program. And the church went wild. Woo-hoo! I said, the bad news? It's still in your pockets. Got real quiet. But I can tell you this. It's true. It is true. God might not use only us to provide for this building. There might be somebody on their way right now. Could write out a check. Listen, I know what I'm talking about because I have seen it happen with my own eyes. God can do it. What's that? He will do it. God is doing it right now. God is doing it. See, that's courageous and consistent faith. And Joshua learned how to obey as a servant before he was a commanding general. Did you hear what I just said? Joshua learned how to obey as a servant before he ever became a commander and a general. He was first a servant and then a ruler. Aristotle wrote this: he who has never learned to obey cannot be a good commander. He who has never learned... Listen, do you know how to obey? See, that's a bad answer. That's a bad answer because that cost the children of Israel 40 years in the wilderness and death to most of them. Because it was the sometimes that they did not obey that cost them that. And God isn't looking, and I'm not picking on you, I'm just using what you said. God is not looking for sometimes faith. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 11? Pardon me? Now faith. In my Bible, now and faith is all capital letters. It's like the Bible is screaming. Now faith. Right now faith. Today kind of faith. Not a wavering kind of faith. He is looking for us to be all that He has called us to be. God commissioned Joshua to achieve three things. Number one, to lead the people into the land. Number two, to defeat the enemy. And number three, to claim the inheritance. 40 years earlier, the children of Israel had the same prospects before them. God's plan 40 years ago was for Moses to lead the people into the land. His plan was for them to defeat the enemy. His plan was for them to claim the inheritance. And God could have sent an angel to do it, but He chose to use man. That's the cool thing about God. He could send some white truck to rescue us when we're broke down. But sometimes He wants to send you. In fact, most of the time, He wants to send you. He commissioned him to lead the people into the land, defeat the enemy, and claim the inheritance. By the way, have you claimed your inheritance? Just think about that for a moment. Have you claimed your inheritance? See, God could have sent an angel to do it, but He chose to use a man to give him the power he needed to get the job done. The 12 spies that were sent into the land came back with mixed report. They came back with a mixed report, but God had already given them the power to do the job. If you study about the life of Joshua, you'll find out that Joshua is a type of Christ, of Jesus Christ. He's a foreshadowing, the captain of our salvation, according to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. He has won the victory and shares His spiritual inheritance with us. I'm talking about Jesus. We have a spiritual inheritance. And since Joshua had a threefold task to perform, God gives Joshua three special promises for each task. Number one, God would enable Joshua to cross the river and claim the land. It was during flood stage. It wasn't like crossing Myrtle Creek. It wasn't even like crossing the South Umpqua. It was a raging torrent. And if you know the story, you know that God stopped the water. And the more I think about God stopping the water, the more it blows my mind. Because He didn't only stop the water at the crossing of the Jordan into Canaan land. He stopped it at the sources everywhere upstream where it was coming from. And so He stopped the water. Think about that. He enabled Joshua to cross the river. Number two, He enabled Joshua to defeat the enemy. Can I just submit to you that it's the same exact enablement that the children of Israel had 40 years ago, but they refused to enact the faith to the level to get the job done. They said, no, we just can't do it. He would enable Joshua to cross the river. He would enable Joshua to defeat the enemy. And he would enable Joshua. What a task this third thing is. Think about this. He enabled Joshua to apportion the land to every tribe as an inheritance. Think about that. What a task. See, God didn't give Joshua explanation as to how he would accomplish these things because God's people live on promises and not explanation. There is a generation that is coming up right now. It's a woke generation. I don't even know what woke is. But it's a generation that is coming up that wants everything explained to them. Listen, when my dad told me to do something, there was not an explanation coming. The reality and the fact that he had told me to go and do it was explanation enough. My dad wasn't going to give me 40 years out in the field. He was going to deliver judgment right away. Amen? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. God curse them razor straps. Curse them Hot Wheels racetracks. Broom handles. Woo! Wooden spoons. Wooden spoons just don't hold up. Now I'm going to tell you. It ain't good to have myrtle wood trees in your backyard. That's bad. That's a bad thing. They got them in the Holy Land. They got them in Douglas County. And I've had them in my hind pocket. Repeatedly. See, God didn't give him an explanation. He gave him a promise. Church, we got to get back to the place where the promise is enough for us to do what we've been told to do. God ain't going to explain everything He asked you to do. He didn't explain to me that before I got to church this morning. He didn't explain to John, I don't think, before he got to church this morning, or to Kathy, or to the worship team, or anybody else this morning. Hey, by the way, put a little extra room in the service for me today, because I'm fixing to move by my spirit. He didn't explain all that to me. I just showed up and said, have your way, Lord. Do your thing. How many of you know He can do His thing way better than we can do our thing? All right. Where am I at? God's people live on promises and not explanations. And when you trust the promises of God and step out in faith, you can be sure that the Lord will give you the direction you need when you see them. Or when you need them, rather. And like Joshua, we need faith to begin and to continue living the life of Christ. This Christian life, this walk that we're on. And as the book of Joshua opens, the Israelites are camped along the east bank of the Jordan River at the very edge of the promised land. They can look across the river and see what God was giving them. And they're completing the mourning period for their former leader Moses, who had just died. And 39 years earlier, after spending a year at Mount Sinai receiving the laws of God, the Israelites had an opportunity to enter the promised land, but they failed to trust God to give them the victory. And as a result, God did not allow them to enter, but made them wander until this is a motivation for you to be obedient, okay? I'm going to motivate some of you. God allowed them to wander around until the disobedient folk in the bunch had died off. Wow. Whew. During the wandering in the desert, The Israelites obeyed the laws of God. They taught the new generation to obey God's law so that they might enter the promised land. And as the children grew, they were often reminded that faith and obedience to God brought victory, while unbelief and disobedience brings tragedy. Can I just tell you, that's something our children need to be taught again today. It was so important that if you go back, and we don't have time to cover it all here this morning, but if you'd go back and read the account in the next chapters where God stopped up the water and the Lord instructed Joshua to instruct 12 people, 12 leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel to gather stones from the middle of the river where God had stopped the river, and to make a monument of what God had, so that when the children come by and say, "Grandpa, what's that pile of rocks over there?" "Oh, let me tell you about them rocks. Let me tell you about that. See those rocks over there? Count those rocks, because there's a rock there for all 12 of the 12 tribes of Israel." And what that is a reminder of the way our God moved in a mighty, miraculous way when God moved us into the promised land under the faithful direction of Joshua. And those stones represent the power of God for His people who will believe by faith. And I believe with all my heart there's going to be a monument right out there in that parking lot to the faithfulness of Almighty God, to a community that needs Jesus with all of their heart. What qualified Joshua to become the leader of this great nation? I want to look at four of them. What qualifications did Joshua have? Number one, according to Numbers chapter 27, verses 18 through 23, and we're not going to go there, but you can write it down for you note takers and look it up later. Number one qualification that Joshua had to become the leader of the nation. Number one. I can't stress this enough, folks. The number one reason is because God appointed him. Isn't that awesome? I said, isn't that awesome? I'm working for a response because I have a response to your response. Isn't that awesome? How many of you realize this morning that God, the same God that appointed Joshua, has appointed every one of you in the sound of my voice to do something for the glory of God? Every one of you. Woo! You're a little slow, but you're worth waiting on. Oh, don't start that. Listen. Church, you need to know that. Every one of you, God has appointed. The Bible says that we're all called. The Bible says that to every one of us, there has been given a measure of faith. Every one of us have before us an opportunity to be used in a miraculous way for God and by God. Number one, God appointed him. Number two, he was one of the only two living spies, living eyewitnesses to the Egyptian plague and the Exodus from Egypt. Number three, he was Moses' personal aide for some 40 years. Most people today, you can't get them to be your servant for more than 40 hours. We have a generation of people today that are trying to do things without the adequate experience. I don't know about everything else, but I know this. I know in the trucking industry, if you got a pulse, they'll put you in a truck. It's true, isn't it, Jay? It's true, isn't it, John? If you're breathing and have a pulse, and we see the effects of it, it's a scary thing. Number one, God appointed him. Number two, he was one of the only two living eyewitnesses to the Egyptian plagues and the exodus from Egypt. Number three, he was Moses' personal aide for 40 years. There's no reference in Scripture of him grumbling and complaining about serving his leader. He served him faithfully. He was his personal aide for 40 years. And number four, of the 12 spies, it was only him and Caleb that showed complete confidence that God would help them conquer the land. But the two were overruled by the 10. I often wonder, what would have happened if those two guys would have said, "I'm not going with you, I'm going in there"? Something to think about. Because that's the kind of people that God is looking for. Listen, if you're waiting for God to do everything in your life that you want Him to do before you do anything that He wants you to do, you have got a long wait ahead of you. Joshua assisted Moses for many, many years, and he was well prepared to take over the leadership of the nation. He had seen the life of faith that was lived out through his mentor, Moses. What examples of faith are you and I living out before our friends and family? That's a tough question. It's a tough question. Joshua's new job consisted of leading more than 2 million people into a strange new land and conquering it. It was a challenge, even for a man of Joshua's caliber. Without God, it could be frightening. With God, it is in fact a great adventure. And just as God was with Joshua, He's with us as we face new challenges. We may not conquer nations, but every day we face tough situations. We face difficult people. We face temptations. And if we'll allow Him to, God will get us through every one of them. Can I just assure you with this? God promises that He'll never abandon us. He'll never fail to help us. He will help us. That prayer that I prayed the very start of this service for healing and all that, if you'll believe by faith, God's going to meet some needs. I promise you. You're going to see God do it. God promises He'll never abandon us. By asking God to direct us, we can conquer any of life's challenges. Well, things looking pretty bad. I don't see how this is ever going to work out. Well, maybe you need to look through the eyes of faith. See, God promised Joshua that Israel would enter the promised land in verse 3 and 4. And over the centuries, God reaffirmed this promise from His first words to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 to His last words to Moses in Deuteronomy 34 and 4. And God would take them over the Jordan and into enemy territory. He would then enable them to claim the land for themselves as He had promised them before. God had given them the land. It was their responsibility to now step out by faith and claim it. Let me tell you something about crossing the river. It was a miracle that God got them across that river by the way He did it. Do you realize that in the 40 years that the children of Israel had wandered in the desert, they, even though they followed the law that was given, there were parts of it that they didn't follow. In fact, the rite of circumcision had died off in that period of time. And this new generation of soldiers, of the army of God that had come up and God had raised them up, that army of men had not been circumcised. And Joshua brought them across the river into the enemy land. We are now in enemy territory. See, on that side of the river, there's a great barrier that would at least slow the enemy down. But God said, I want you to take them across the river. After he got them across the river, he says, oh, by the way, Joshua, I want you to circumcise every man in the army. Think about that. I'm not going to get graphic. I think suffice it to say that you understand the reality that every one of those men is probably sidelined. Nobody wanting to go fight no battle. Everybody just wanting to sit around on the banks of the river. But God put them on purpose in the very presence of their enemy and then disabled them. Why? Why would God do something that outrageous? I'll do the preaching. I'll do the preaching. Because they needed to learn to act by faith. That God brought them into the very presence within striking distance of the army. And he said, trust me. Have faith. I will protect you. God isn't always going to make your life safe and warm and cozy and rosy. He's going to put you sometimes. He's going to allow you sometimes to get in a place that you and I would recognize as dangerous. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. See, God had already given them the land. God has already given us this land. You need to hear that this morning. It's not a question. It's not, well, I wonder. It is a statement of fact. God has given us this land. We need to step out by faith and claim it. God has given us spiritual blessings, but we have to step out by faith and claim them. He set before His church an open door that nobody can close. And we have to walk through that door by faith and claim new territory for the Lord. Amen? We got to do it. Let's go on is the challenge to His church. And it means moving ahead into new territory. You got some devils in your life that you just can't seem to get rid of? Anybody besides the pastor? Do you know that the Bible says very plainly that there are those that come out only by prayer and fasting? And we do not like fasting. I don't mind praying. But that fasting, I don't know about you, but all I got to do, I haven't eaten a thing all day, and I'm not a bit hungry. If I would have said last night, starting tomorrow morning, I'm going to fast, I'd have woke up this morning and my body would have been screaming, famine! He's trying to kill me! Starving me to death! How many of you know that's true? Huh? That's true. Lord Jesus. Listen, I could use some fasting. At least slowing down. Too many of y'all shaking your head in agreement with me right there. Woo! God gave a similar promise to Jacob, and Moses had repeated God's promise to Joshua. God one day would give the same promise to Gideon and to the Jewish exiles returning from Babylon to their land. David would give it to his son Solomon. But best of all, listen to me, church, God has given this same promise to His people today. What's the promise? The promise is the same promise that God gave Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen, amen, amen. Let me tell you something. God has given you and I that promise today. Is your marriage in trouble? God wants to restore your marriage. Is your health failing? God wants to restore your health. Is your bank account in trouble? God wants to restore your bank account. I'm just telling you what God's Word says. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. That covers a broad spectrum, folks. I will never forsake you covers a broad spectrum, folks. God has given you that promise today. The Gospel of Matthew opens with this. Emmanuel, God with us. You want to know how the Gospel of Matthew closes? The Gospel of Matthew closes with Jesus' words saying, "Lo, I am with you always." Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? The writer of Hebrews quotes Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5 and applies it to you and I today. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Are you hearing what God is saying by His Spirit to this morning? It means that God's people can move forward in God's will and be assured that God's presence is here. If God is for us, according to Romans 8 and 31, who can be against us? I got news for you. They're going to come against you. They are going to come against you, but by faith I stand. Hallelujah. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Do you believe that? It's a cute little song, but do you believe it? Do you believe it? God's commandments are still God's enablement for those who will obey Him by faith. And Gabriel's words to Mary are as true today as they were when He spoke them to him in Nazareth. He said, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe with your whole heart that ain't nothing impossible for Almighty God? Oh God, would you do something in this place? I like this. Listen, this is the same verse, different translation that I found, because I've got like 400 Bibles on my computer. Some of them I can't read because, you know, they ain't from around here. But I like this translation in the American Standard Version Bible of 1901. Same verse of Scripture says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God nothing shall be impossible. American Standard Version. For no word from God shall be void of power. Ooh. No word from God shall be void of power. He is power. He spoke. Look at this. He spoke the world into existence. You think that ain't power? We could go into the walls of Jericho and talk about all that came down. Can I just tell you? God is a powerful God. And the very word that God speaks, come on, John, come on, Kathy, the very words that God speaks has in them the power of fulfillment if we will but trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Do you believe that tonight? Or this morning? It ain't night yet, but it's getting close. In the years to come, church, whenever Joshua faced an enemy and was tempted to be afraid, he would remember that he was a man with a divine commission. His fears would vanish. He would recall to his memory. He would recall in his mind, in his heart, and in his spirit, God's word that says, "Be not afraid. Only be courageous. I will be with you wherever you go. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed." When you face things in your life, can I refer you back to God's Word in Joshua chapter 9. And you might just read through that first 9 verses. That my God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you wherever you go. That's His Word. He said it. It's in black and white. You haven't heard God speak for a while? Get in God's Word. He'll begin to speak to you in a still small voice. I believe, church, that we are a people with a divine commission from God. I believe God has brought you into this place today, not just because you needed something to do on a Sunday morning, but two things. I believe He wanted to show the power of His presence in this place this morning. And I believe He wanted you to hear a word from His Word that says, listen, I don't know what it is you're facing. I don't know what giants you have before you. I don't know about your grandbabies that are being born. I don't know about your children that are being born. I don't know about your kids that are out there running amok, and we've all got them. But I want you to know this. God said, I'll bring them back. God said, if you raise them up in the way that they should go, when they're old, they'll not depart. I wanted you to know this morning that God Almighty is not done with you. The devil might be telling you that He's done, but I want you to know there's a God in heaven that says, I'm not done. I'm not done. I'm not done. Bow your heads with me right quick, would you? If you're getting baptized now, it'd be a good time to go get ready. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. People are praying across this sanctuary this morning. Where does this all start? How does this walk with the Lord even start? How does this grand adventure to take the land, how does that even start? How can I be a part of that, Pastor? Well, it starts very plainly and very simply by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You can't jump the gun. You can't jump ahead of that part of the plan. Just like the children of Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness because they refused to obey the Spirit of the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, I don't think I want to go up there. I don't think I want to go to the front. I don't think I even want to raise my hand because the enemy is whispering in your ear. Tell him to shut up and get away from you. Because part of the plan is confessing your sin. I'm not saying you stand before the congregation and blurt out everything you've ever done in your life. But I am saying this. You've got to come to a place in your life where you say, Lord, I'm done with the devil. I'm done with my flesh. I'm done with the sin in my life. And today, Father, I come to You and I say, God, would You forgive me of my sin? Would You renew me? Would You restore me? Would You create in me a clean heart like David said? Would You restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation? Cast me not away from Thy presence, O God. Restore. Restore me, Lord. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. People are praying. If you're in this place today, and I don't care if you've never been saved before, today is your day. I don't care if you got 10,000 questions. I want you to do one thing today, and that is settle the very most important question in your life, and that is, where will I spend eternity? Where will I spend eternity? Because every one of us today are living eternally. You have to make the choice for yourself. Heaven or hell? Heaven or hell? There's no other choice. There's no in between. There's heaven or there's hell. And so today, you have a choice to make before you. Well, I'm not going to choose today, Pastor. I want to hear more of what you have to say about this whole thing. And so I'm not going to make a choice today. You'll make a choice by not making a choice. Because not to choose heaven is to, by default, choose hell. Because if there's only two destinations, if you don't pick one, you by default go to the other. Well, if God's so loving, Pastor, how come He would send such nice people to hell? Let me break the news to you. God isn't sending anybody to hell. If you go to hell, it's because you chose to go there. Because God said in His Word, with every temptation, I've made a way of escape. If you but just call on the name of Jesus. If you'll be born again. No further ado, if you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today is your day. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you realize that sin has crept back into your life and today you need to get it right with God, you need to make sure that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, I'm asking you right now that to get it dealt with today. Time is too short. Time is too short. If you're in either one of those categories, you either never accepted Jesus or you need to recommit your life to Jesus today, I want you to raise your hand right now in this place. Maybe you're watching by way of the internet this morning and you got your hand up. I can't tell that you've got your hand up, but I'm going to ask you to pray with us in just a moment. You can get just as saved sitting in your house as you can in this church. However, I'm going to compel you to not stay in your house, but to get into the house of the Lord. Fellowship with believers is important. It's vital. It's called connectivity. And you need to be connected to a God-fearing, Bible-based, believing church. Anybody today say, "Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. I need to submit my life to Jesus. I need to walk with Him. I need to follow Him." Anybody at all say, "Preacher, that's me." If you raised your hand, you need to get up and come. I want you to come right now. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, man. Proud of you, man. Listen. God's not keeping score how many times we come to the altar. God's just grateful that we think enough about Him to come and lay it down again. Jay, this morning